Hello, this is the CISA6 Energizer podcast for educational administrators, and I'm your host, Amy Bindis. Our intention for this podcast is to energize you with ideas and encourage you to bring a high level of anabolic or uplifting and optimistic energy to the important process of staff growth and development. Today, we'll continue our conversation on the nudge formula for employee effectiveness. Today's focus in NUDGE will be the G, which stands for give and receive feedback. Let's remember why we're discussing the nudge formula in the first place. Nudging growth in our staff requires a focus on each and every person individually. We are being intentional about improving the practice of our educators so that we are more effective at helping students reach their potential. Improvement means continual growth and often change. According to PROSI, that's PROSI.com, a company devoted to change and change management, in the end, change happens one person at a time. Even large, complex organizational changes are only successful if the impacted individual changes how they do their day-to-day work. Organizational change is the culmination of many individuals moving from their own current state to their own future state. One person at a time. That includes you, and that includes me. The site goes on to say that supervisors directly impact frontline employees because these employees will typically emulate their manager's attitudes about the change, whether those attitudes are supportive or not. In this case, we're not talking about organizational change like a curriculum adoption or moving to block scheduling or something like that. We're talking about internal change attitudes, beliefs, and abilities to improve practice one educator at a time. As the leader of that change, modeling the willingness and desire to change makes it easier for your staff to trust the process, because in the end, change is hard work. As we strive to change and improve practice, feedback on our progress is essential. But before we get to the G of giving and receiving feedback, let's review what we already know about the nudge formula. So remember how the formula presents visually as an infinity loop, meaning that the process of growth and development isn't linear. Before, during, and after growing professionally, people need to be nurtured, which is the N, in different ways. And then for the U, they need to have the success criteria unpacked so they understand when progress is occurring. And then the D, people need to be developed in order to have the ability to change and grow. Now we come to the next concept in the nudge formula, the G, the artful process of giving and receiving feedback. I'm sure I'm like you and I say that I'm very open to feedback. In reality, I find I'm more open to some types of feedback than other types of feedback. My openness actually depends on a few factors, including my desire to improve my performance, the conditions in which I'm performing, and the relationship I have with the person giving me feedback. For example, I am really motivated to improve my golf game. In fact, I might even pay someone to give me feedback. I'm open to what the golf pro has to say, and I desire greatly to get better. I'm receptive to the feedback, and I trust the person giving me feedback as I see him as an expert, which leads me to learning and growing. And it's even better if he's asking me my opinion and how does that feel and what do I think is coming next. If he involves me in the whole process, I am more engaged and even more receptive. Here's another example. I'm also motivated to be an awesome spouse. I think most often I do a pretty good job. If my husband disagrees and offers feedback on how I can improve, however, it's not always met with enthusiasm. If I'm not in the right mindset, his feedback for me is met with hostility, followed by judgment of his practice as a spouse and what he needs to improve on. That's why it's so important to set the conditions of nurturing someone, unpacking expectations of performance, and then developing skills and abilities before providing feedback. When my husband and I talk about a relationship first, nurture each other, share our expectations of marriage, and then discuss what comes easily for us as well as what we want to focus on getting better at, then feedback can be given from a place of trust and received with a mindset of wanting to improve. If these conditions exist, giving and receiving feedback just feels better. So let's look at the feedback given and received within the professional relationship of evaluator and educator. Assuming that the foundation of trust is strong and the nurturing, unpacking, and developing have taken place, we now move to the G, or giving and receiving feedback. Normally, feedback is provided after an observation. In fact, according to the Oxford Dictionary, feedback is defined as information about reactions to a person's performance of a task, which is used as a basis for improvement. With this definition in mind, we'll be talking about the conversation an evaluator and an educator have after an observation. I want to shift your thinking as an evaluator from gathering all the evidence you can to focus in on a specific area in which to target feedback. It's probably an area that you and the educator have predetermined that they really want to work on. For example, let's consider a 7th grade English language arts teacher who wants to improve on student engagement and students owning their own learning. As we consider two members of the feedback conversation, I also want you to see each person, the evaluator and an educator, as an equal partner in the conversation. We're going to look at the conversation from both perspectives, first from the evaluator's perspective, or the giver of feedback, and then from the educator's perspective, or the receiver of feedback. As the leader or as the evaluator, you may feel pressure to have all of the answers for your educator after an observation. Many administrators believe they must be seen as the leader of the conversation or the golf pro with all of the great advice. You may be tempted to picture yourself as a guide on a hike with a compass showing the person she's leading exactly what path to take based on the evidence collected. You might have ideas or strategies that worked for you in the past regarding student engagement and ownership of learning. Or you may want the educator to watch a certain webinar or read a specific book in order to use one of the strategies you think might work there. In this scenario, however, the educator is seen as a follower who may or may not understand or even agree with the advice given or the direction taken, but follows out of compliance. In the end, the ideas are the evaluator's ideas or your ideas being imposed on the educator who may or may not agree or even understand. Instead, I want you to picture you as the evaluator as an archaeologist, helping the educator who's searching for a valuable nugget of gold that might improve practice. In this scenario, the role of the evaluator is not to determine how the employee should change, but rather to uncover valuable knowledge that the educator may not even realize exists inside them, and also to uncover that desire to improve right alongside of them. When the educator collaborates with the evaluator on considering the evidence, and is receptive to the curious uncovering of new ideas within them, there's a willingness and a receptiveness to determine and take the next step. When focused on a specific aspect of practice, student engagement and ownership of learning, for example, the evaluator already has an idea of where to dig. If you've already discussed this with the educator, you know what to look for in the observation. So as the evaluator, I ask myself of what I observed, what if improved may have the largest impact on student learning? Thinking this through before I meet with the educator helps the evaluator formulate two or three pivotal questions, or where to begin digging. So, what if improved may have the largest impact on student learning? How do you know if the students were engaged? What progress have students made in their engagement towards your success indicators? So after digging slowly or asking one question at a time, the key is for the evaluator to listen curiously and have a willingness to withhold judgment. So as the educator answers these open-ended questions and talks through their current practice, I, as the evaluator, listen for that golden nugget. The nugget may come as a realization from the educator, an idea, a new strategy, or even a question they never considered. For example, as the evaluator, I noticed that the 7th grade ELA teacher must have previously taught students how to assess their progress within a portfolio that she had them take out and work on during my observation. I collected the evidence that 18 students got to work immediately and began reflecting, scoring themselves on their essay and writing. 6 students had not begun anything after 5 minutes. 4 had their hands up, and 2 started talking off task. So I'm wondering what part of the directions the students didn't fully understand and why they weren't engaged. I know that 1 student is an English language learner and that 2 have learning disabilities. I've seen 2 of the other students in my office previously this year due to behavior issues. So I'm curious about the engagement of these students, and I'm curious about the confidence they have in measuring their progress. One of the questions I want to ask the teacher in a curious and non-judgmental way is, how do you know if all students understand how to measure their own progress? So as the post-observation conversation ensues, the teacher and I discuss the steps already taken to teach the concept. But the teacher discovers that she hasn't really modeled the process or checked for understanding to see if students really are understanding and able to monitor their own progress. Within a few minutes of our conversation, I uncover that nugget that she's working through and polishes. She decides to do a think aloud next class to model the process and get them into groups to discuss questions with each other, address the questions that arise, then have students model for each other in small groups after a trust activity to build that relationship. She will also have each student reflect on the progress or the process through an exit ticket and address any questions or concerns at the beginning of the next class. She polished that nugget with my help and refined it, and I told her I'm really excited to see the improvement in practice result in increased student engagement and learning next class. So that was the perspective from the evaluator's point of view. Now let's turn our attention to the perspective of the educator. In the scenario, the teacher was willing to ponder my questions and be vulnerable to discussing her strengths as well as how she could improve. All too often, I've witnessed and been a part of conversations that have not gone as far as possible because the educator is unaware that they become defensive, and then the evaluator backs off questions so they don't seem offensive. Many post-observations become a book report of types, and the evaluator just spews out all of the evidence that he or she has gathered and, you know, kind of verifies everything that's been done by the educator, and then maybe poses one small idea of what to do next that may or may not improve student learning. These conversations merely become a hoop jump and may or may not result in substantial change in practice. In shifting from the guide and follower to collaborators in an archaeological dig for that golden nugget, the educator is at the center of the discussion and assists the evaluator as they dig to uncover and eventually dust off the nugget, which they take forward to polish and use with students. The G for nudge is set apart from what's currently common practice by allowing the receiver of the feedback to feel safe enough to be able to provide constructive feedback back to the leader of the conversation. For instance, if during the uncovering of, you know, what's going on, there's a need for the teacher that highlights something I as the evaluator have not done, that might be humbling. If the teacher needs more professional development that I have not provided, I need to be open to that. If we're continuing to improve practice, I need to improve as well. So if my digging with the educator uncovers the fact that the special education teacher has never gone over the accommodations of the two seventh grade students, she needs to tell me that. She needs to be willing to, oh, I'm not meeting the needs of these students. However, I've never had time with the teacher to understand how that could happen. Okay, I need to ensure that happens. Or if the teacher is unaware of strategies to help English learners in her classroom, she needs to be vulnerable enough to tell me that. She needs to be willing to improve. Her perspective is that of trust in me as the evaluator, that I can and need to help her get that training. Going back to the teacher, it's now that we can assess how much the staff member is willing to change and grow. And it's now that as a leader working with the staff member, we must model that vulnerability, adaptability, and positivity. Giving and receiving feedback is the critical work of change. It's understanding what needs to change and assisting the educator in determining how the change will occur. Collaborative, professional conversations can lead to grappling with many thoughts and productive struggle that are so worth it in the end. Extracting gold is hard work. Refining and polishing that gold nugget so that its value is realized is also hard work. As evaluators, we must inspect what we expect. And I don't know about you, but I expect to find gold. I expect for teaching to be valuable. And I expect the payoff to be realized in student learning. The next part of the nudge formula is the E of empowering the educator to take the next steps to change and grow. Join me next month to see what the nugget may lead to in growing teacher practice, confidence, and even retaining quality educators in your school. Until then, have a great day using your anabolic leadership to inspire others.